Oops. I think the transmission just fell out.
Oh.
Oh, dear. We're not going to get far without that.
No. But we can try.
Yeah, fake it. So it's a matter of faith and belief.
Do you think that we could do this podcast with, like, you know, a paper plate with you just pretending to steer?
Yeah, sure. Why not? And then have someone sit behind us and go,
brr. Yeah.
And who would that person be?
Probably somebody from your improv troupe, I would think.
Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe. Please be advised there are occasional cuss words in these episodes. So now you know. Episode 27, Optimism Ho. On this ride, your hosts Steve and Mal hurtle from point A Episode 27, Optimism Ho. On this ride, your hosts Steve and Mal hurtle from point A to point B while searching for positivity amid the readily available gloom and doom. Strap in for the ride to Redacted. We had Seeing Eye puppies visit us at school today.
Uh-huh.
At least we had one this year, a seeing eye puppy in training, and then one seeing eye dog school dropout, who is now a certified therapy dog. But I asked during the question and answer session, whatever, I was like, what happens if the dog doesn't complete its training? What happens if they flunk out of seeing eye dog school? And he was like, well, that's what happens, like, that Tippy here, this, like, elderly, like, black lab golden retriever mix. He was like, she flunked out because she didn't like being in cars or on trains. And as a seeing eye dog, you have to be game to go absolutely anywhere. And so she's a therapy dog, and she'll go to the library and kids will read to her, or she'll during COVID she visited people who were like homebound to give them some company, and she'll go to like child therapist's office and the kids will like cuddle the dog. And I was like, it's a pretty good gig, honestly. Like, I also would flunk out of seeing eye dog school if that was my alternative, because you're still a hero, but you don't have to go on trains and cars.
Wow. This whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm loving this. Thinking that this story, it's not even a children's book. It sounds like a novel for, like, adults about, told from the point of view of the therapy dog who flunked out of seeing eye dog school, and all of the issues that might bring up for the dog, especially when they hang out with seeing eye dogs. Like, is there
their nose in the air thing?
Yeah, their nose in it.
They have their noses in each other's butts.
Nose in the air.
Yeah.
I mean, and speaking of seeing eye dogs, isn't it a fact that virtually all dogs are smelling nose dogs?
Well, yes.
But I guess that doesn't do anything for
humans, usually.
Unless
some dogs will detect if there's, like, gluten or peanuts in a thing, and then, like, give you a little tap if the thing is going to kill you.
Or
they do that.
Drug-sniffing dogs.
Yeah, so those are sniffing nose dogs.
Sniffing nose.
Yeah.
Seeing eye, sniffing nose.
Yeah, crouching tiger. Hidden mist.
Flunking clown.
Yeah.
It also reminds me of people who don't get into clown school.
Well, yeah, because Phoenix said it's actually very difficult to get into clown school. It's very competitive. Everybody thinks they have what it takes to honk the little bladder on a stick and spray seltzer at each other, but
right.
It's a tough gig.
Not so.
Well, I mean,
which is harder, getting into clown school or getting into med school?
Well, everybody needs more doctors, so they want you to get into med school. No, but
But do they?
That's all right. A good point.
Wow. All right. We have a lot on the table that I've forgotten already.
Yay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else has been on your mind or has been on your mind?
Well, I still have that song that I played for you.
Yeah.
On repeat, playing in my head.
Give us the title.
It's 09 Baseline Wage.
09 Baseline Wage, sung by...
Sean Tobin.
Nice. I'm tempted to think, not to like label your taste in music, because that would be annoying.
Okay.
But if I were to do that,
yeah.
Between that and I Came Around,
yeah.
Which I feel like I need to edit the show notes for episode 25 and put in a reference to that.
Mm-hmm.
But between that and the one you just said.
Yeah.
09 Baseline Wage.
Yeah.
By Sean Tobin.
Yes.
What? Listening or what?
Yeah.
He listens. He drives. He almost never hits anything.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Good. Where was I going with this? Oh, that I think you like a fairly... good storyline in your songs.
Yes, I love a ballad.
But I also think of that sort of, you know, there's a bluegrass. It seems related to opera to me somehow. Not that I know anything at all about opera.
Interesting.
But if I did.
Yeah.
I think opera is into story.
Well, yeah.
So I think of your taste in music as somewhat operatic.
Well, I do also like opera.
Uh-huh.
I don't listen to it in my spare time a lot, but
okay.
Anytime somebody turns the opera station on, I'm like, turn
okay.
it up.
All right then.
Yeah.
See that? Okay, got it. So I was really into the lyrics, and I got them and read them and listened to the song Jackson Browne's mid-1970s Before the Deluge. It's kind of a... you know, on the it's the lyric. He's a great songwriter and a really a good musician, nice singer. It's kind of as he was and probably still is. The core of it is kind of environmental activism,
mm-hmm.
But in the current sort of political moment. Here and somewhat around the world, to me it has overtones of just how ruinous things are lately and how we really need to and want to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I feel like we're going to have to around this car.
Yeah.
But it's something right. Sucks to be that person or you're just stopped on the highway.
Yeah, wonder why.
They don't look wrecked or anything.
No.
I wonder if they need to jump or something.
Yeah.
I've been thinking a lot about optimism recently.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, fuck that. Sorry.
No, it was good.
But
I've been thinking about it a lot because, like, I don't know, sometimes I'll get some news or, you know, whatever. Someone will be telling me something shitty, whatever. And I'm like...
News is right, all
yes,
that, yeah.
And I'm like, as much as I, like, it does get me down, like, a lot, you know, like, it really gets on top of me. I'm like, I do genuinely feel like everything's going to be okay. And
you do genuinely feel like...
Everything's going to be okay.
Nice.
have this kind of unshakable faith that everything's going to be okay.
If you could, like, bottle that.
I know. Unfortunately, many have tried, and most of them are scams to get your money.
Right.
There's no secret to it except, you know, like, some people can get there if they want to, and some people have a really, really hard time getting there, you know? Like, mm-hmm. they need the weather conditions to be perfect for that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And some people are just negative. They can't get there, you know?
I mean, as you're saying this, I want to guess, like, doesn't a lot of that, or at least some of it, have to do with your basic 0.09 baseline state of being? Like, if you're in a good place generally, then you have your best shot at thinking, all right, things suck, but maybe they won't forever.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think I'm very much calibrated for that, so that, like, when I'm in a really bad place, like, I'm able to tell myself, even in that bad place, that this won't last forever. Yeah, so, but optimism, I don't know. I know that I have processing delays that, like, you know, especially when I'm in information download mode and I just need to know everything possible and ask questions and whatever, then I'm like I'm not having an emotional reaction to something, and I may not for like a while. There might be a delay, but
and then it hits you. It's like, oh, that was really bad.
Yeah,
that's happening.
But also, like, while it's happening, while you're getting like bad news or whatever, I'm like, I think it's going to be okay. Like, you know, it sounds real bad. This is not going to last forever. It's gonna be okay.
This is irreverently.
Yeah.
I am reminded of a scene. I don't even know if I saw the entire movie, but I saw a clip of it, of a Laurel and Hardy movie where Oliver Hardy has been basically dumped, rejected by the love of his life, and he's bought, stop me if I've gone through this before, but he's bought like a box, probably a heart-shaped box of chocolates for the woman, and he's met with her, and I guess Stanley has been there, and they meet in, like, you know, a pub or a bar or some public space, I think, somewhere. And he, like, offers it to her, and she rebuffs him, she turns him down, and maybe she goes off with some other guy, and then they're, like, back in their room, because Oliver and Stanley are, like, staying in the same house. I'm not even sure if the woman is living in that house, but whatever, they're in this sort of living room space together. And Oliver is just, like, sitting there sort of gobsmacked, and he's, like, kind of talking about it, and it's like, really traumatic for him, and Stanley is sort of sympathetically listening, and Ollie is like, you know, the box of chocolates is there, unopened, and Stanley ends up with it. Maybe Ollie, like, hands it, like, I can't even look at these anymore.
Yeah.
So as Ollie is sort of, like, sitting there heartbroken and sort of going over it, and Stanley's being sympathetic, without thinking, he just sort of automatically opens the box, and he starts eating the chocolates. And you see, it's so comical. He's just like, you know, he's like, initially, he's listening to his best friend talk about his heartbreak, but as he's doing that, he's sort of chewing, and his face registers both that he's kind of listening, and now he's starting to be like, wow, these are really good. And he's sort of starting to, you could see him start to focus on the taste of the chocolates.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what reminded me of that. What were you talking about before? How did I get to that?
Optimism.
What's that?
Optimism. Processing delays.
Processing delays. Yeah. The news is really bad, but, oh, man, these chocolates are pretty good.
Yeah.
Are you aware, not to hijack this entire... So you mentioned optimism, and I'm bringing it to the pessimism, I think, but or the downers, except for the chocolates with Stanley eating them.
Yeah.
That was a little comic relief, but there was a recent lengthy New Yorker article that really, you know, was about sort of the Jewish community and the divisions about the bombing of Iran in the Jewish community. Yeah, that'll make you want to put away the chocolates for just a little bit, that whole thing.
Yeah.
The bad blood in between fellow congregants.
Yeah.
Another thing that gives rise to the need for your wonderful optimism.
I don't know. I just... Yeah. It boggles my mind how quickly things changed. I think after the 2016 election, I was like, that is the end of, like, mixed marriages in terms of Democrat, Republican. Like, I really was like, this is going to change everything.
Right, and it didn't used to matter that much.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. And not just marriages, like, you know, anything.
Yeah.
You used to be like, whatever. But now you're like, I guess you hate humanity and want everyone to die.
Not even, I mean, if I think back, things were fairly polarized and, you know, heated in the Vietnam era, as you will know.
Yeah.
But, I don't even think it was like this somehow. I mean, also, back then, like the 60s and 70s, there was, I think, the reigning, from my perspective, and I think society-wide in this country, and maybe even somewhat worldwide, was very, very optimistic. It was, the reigning dynamic was That
no war, peace, free love.
Yeah, that we are going to make things better. You know, fuck the man. You know, whatever. And it was a hopeful sort of revolutionary time, and that was the reigning zeitgeist, if I can use the word correctly, which I'm not sure even now I can. But yeah, so even though things were polarized and could be and heated between different political views, it was a time when it felt like, you know, compassion and liberality had the upper hand.
Well, like,
not as much now. I mean, it's still there, but
it used to be that blue collar workers were liberals.
Right.
Because, you know, they didn't want the government telling them what to do and whatever.
Right, and the unions were looking out for them. And,
yeah.
Right.
And now Republicans are, like, anti-union or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you talking about?
Right. Well, the whole, I mean, I don't know. It's all pretty fucked up. The one optimistic, if I struggle very irrationally to find optimism here, a thing came into my mind a mile or so ago, which was the analogizing, like almost like psychotically, hallucinogenically, to the image of the butterfly chrysalis goo.
Yeah.
That out of, because I guess my train of thought was everything that we've started to describe, like, wow, that sounds like a mess to me.
Yeah.
And it is a mess. And that, and so optimism would be like, maybe somehow out of this mess can somehow, I mean, if butterflies can do it, will arise the societal equivalent of a butterfly. I don't know how, but that was like a moment of like, hey, maybe this could work. And here I am, like, very thoughtfully not running over that pedestrian.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Yeah.
Where's my thank you wave?
Where's my fucking thank you wave?
Exactly. Yeah, which I've been known to feel. Yeah. Not then. I mean, that, yeah. She definitely had the right of way in the crosswalk, and I'm waiting at a red light. So.
And you are, like, almost touching the crosswalk.
I am a little bit, yeah. But still.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it takes a lot of little things. Just even if you want to take it into the realm of, like, this podcast, just not driving like a dick. If you can just, like I've said before, just not make it harder for other people in your daily life, then that's fucking half the battle. Because everybody is so exhausted, so brain dead. You know, as soon as anything goes wrong, it's like you fly off the handle because you're so overloaded all the time.
Right.
That you have no reserves of strength and thoughtfulness to draw upon to, like... Be calm in the face of like a minor setback. So if you're able to like get yourself claw back like a little bit of space, a little bit of headspace where you can, you know, react non-dickishly when things go wrong, and if you can try not to be a dick to other people as much as possible, like
yeah, that's a win.
I think that's a win, and I think you show other people that. Strangers are safe, that like that you have their best interests at heart, or like whatever, it, that humanity's not completely fucked.
And also you show yourself.
Yes.
And I've been working on this because I noticed how I'm defaulting towards like a whole new level of peevishness. Mm-hmm. Just ready to go, but at the same time I'm like working on it.
Yeah.
And when I make progress on that, it's pretty gratifying. It's breathtaking.
It's breathtaking.
To use the words or word of Lior. Or you.
It was
talking
me.
About.
Yeah.
That was you, yeah. I quote you a lot, by the way, at home. One of my favorite thing is to just go, oh, I mean, I could,
yeah.
But I mean, that applies here too, you know. It's like, I think it takes, do I sound like I'm high? I do a little. I feel like...
like you're high?
Oh, whoa. Here it goes again. It's all going to be fine. But I feel like it's in this very dark moment. I think... Can we all agree? It's pretty dark. It takes... You almost have to, like, on faith, you just have to will a moment, a second of optimism. It's mm-hmm. like, I don't know how... I don't know how, but it's going to work out.
Yeah.
Somehow Jim Henson will come back.
God.
It's a butterfly.
Yeah. I think also new Jim Hensons will arise.
Jim Henson.
Yeah, a new Jim Henson will bring us to the promised land. No. And I think if we can uplift artists... who are striving to represent themselves, represent something in the world. If we can uplift intellectualism and, like, you know, share that with other people and make that a priority for ourselves when we can, when we have the mental capacity to. Then I think, like, rather than looking back to the past and being like, things were better back then, we can move into a new era of, like, goodwill and free love and art and exploration.
One thing that helps me channel some optimism is a thing that I got from reading Henry George, mm-hmm. You know, which I wouldn't know anything on my own about this, but he does a very sort of good job in the last book he wrote, which he didn't finish because he died, called, yes, speaking of.
Is this,
you want to describe this?
Yeah, there's an adult holding hands with a little child, teaching the child how to skip, and this child is not older, coordinated enough to really and pick up the
you
mechanics.
You have to mention the hood, though.
Oh, and the kid's wearing a little hood with little barriers on it, a little fuzzy hood.
It's okay. Cute. So Henry George describes how in, you know, in society of any level of development, human beings are tend to be inherently cooperative in how they produce things, wealth, whatever, things that are needed to live off of. And he goes through an analysis of different types of cooperation. There's what he calls conscious cooperation, where you have like a team of people working under the direction of one person, you know, maybe construction, barn raising. I mean, people who can do together by working together what they could not do individually. And that's a thing that happens just sort of naturally. But he says maybe even more impressive is what he calls subconscious or unconscious cooperation, which is, he uses the example, which is like the most technologically advanced in his day, of the building of a first-class sailing ship. And he talks about how people come from all points of the compass, each following what seems to them the best way for them individually to sort of make a living. And some people will grow the cotton for the sails, and some people will, you know, be able to make sailcloth, and other people make like the instruments that are like a compass and stuff like that. And nobody's telling them to do this, but in an advanced civilization, all of these things are available and they come together and you can produce, which, you know, back then was the most impressive thing, which is a first-class sailing ship. And he says, if you were to go to the time of like Genghis Khan or a civilization that was not able or prepared to do that, you couldn't have such a thing. It arises from the fabric of a developed civilization, and it happens spontaneously without, you know, anybody like totally planning everything out. Mm-hmm. Every now and then, even though it does encounter the bummer of doom scrolling late at night, sometimes it's a kind of thing that at least tempers my pessimism. Mm-hmm. All right, fine.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll all do this. Let's all have fun. Sorry. What just happened there? Was I being a dick? I don't know. Hard to say.
Yeah,
maybe. A little bit. Yeah, but everybody was. There's a good defense.
Sure.
Everybody's doing it.
Yes.
I'm not going to be nice. How nice do you want me to be? I
can tell who you're from here.
Yeah.
Some habits never die.
Yep. I mean, am I from here? Aren't I more from, like, suburban, you know what?
Yeah. But, no.
Suburban point A-ishness. Which is in the sphere of influence of where we be now.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Kinda.
I think even linguistically and accent-wise.
I think so.
I think so.
I think it does.
How much of that can you rip off, rattle off?
The whole thing.
All right, go for it.
Yes, a dozen, and as many to the vantage as would store the world they played for. But I do think it is our husband's fault if wives do fall. Say they slacken their duties and pour our treasures into foreign laps, or else break out in peevish jealousies, throwing restraint upon us. Or say they strike us, or scant our former having in despite. Why, we have galls, and though we have some grace, yet have we some revenge. Our husbands know their wives have sense like them. They see and smell and have their palates both for sweet and sour, as husbands have. What is it that they do when they change us for others? Is it sport? I think it is. And doth affection breed it? I think it doth. Is frailty that thus errs? It is so too. And have we not affections, desires for sport and frailty as men have? Then let them use us well, else let them know the ills we do, their ills instruct us so.
Oh, wow. First of all, you say that so quickly.
Yes.
But second of all, from what I was able to process and gather,
yeah,
I have like a less than one sentence summary of it all.
Sure.
Y'all gonna cheat on us?
Yeah.
We're gonna cheat on you.
Yeah. That's
right. Back at you.
Othello.
Paybacks are hell.
Yeah. Othello.
Deal with it.
Amelia talking to Desdemona. Yeah, basically being like, men are dogs.
Yeah.
You know, they suck. You can justify any shitty thing you do with men. Men have done worse.
Right.
Basically.
We got it from you.
And she's talking specifically about cheating.
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Look, a corgi, by the way.
Oh, okay. As a last thing, is there any way, which I doubt there is, to tie all this to everything else we've done? No. Like...
I don't know.
Like all the cringiness and optimism.
Sure.
Go.
Well, the good thing about being on planet Earth with, like, billions of other people is that everybody is different. And the bad thing is you're going to meet every kind of person out there in your entire life. And it's also the good thing. So, like, you need to build up a tolerance for talking to people who are different from you, but also, you know... being able to communicate on a basic level with people who are different from you is an essential life skill. And if it feels dangerous to talk to somebody, obviously you have to use your judgment on that, whatever. You have to preserve your own safety. But, you know, we're all going to get there eventually. You know? It's all about the journey. We're all trying to get to the same place. You know, we just want to try and make it as painless as possible for ourselves and others, and you can do your part by just straight up trying not to be a dick as much as possible.
And there we have it.
All right,
cowabunga.
Cowabunga. We should...
Truck.
Stop this. Yeah, no, I'm not going to
stop it. All right, stop it. Here. All right.